Just a few short days, Perry Stone is going to be with us here in the Harvest Worship Center, July the 27th and the 28th. You don't want to miss these services because the 27th starts at 7 p.m., the 28th at 10:30 a.m., and also 6 p.m. that evening. Perry is going to be bringing a word that I believe is going to be encouraging, especially in light of all that's happening. You look at the assassination attempt on President Trump, the turmoil that's in the world. You see lawlessness in our streets and all kinds of things happening. We know this one thing, that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. We are getting ready to go home. The rapture is getting ready to take place. So don't miss these services coming up July the 27th and 28th. Perry Stone here at the Harvest Worship Center. The 27th at 7 p.m., the 28th at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. that evening. Come on out and be with us. 21-225 Jeb Stuart Highway in Stuart, Virginia. And God bless you.
Let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Verse 16, and I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation. It's a little bit different. It's the Great Commission. You should know it by heart. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples heard the wonderful news from the women and left for Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had arranged to meet them. The moment they saw him, they worshiped him, but some had lingering doubts. Isn't that amazing? Standing right in front of you, and you still can't believe it. Because it'll make you pout. Your doubts will turn into pouts. Amen? That's amazing. But some still had lingering doubts. Then Jesus came close to them and verse has been given to me. Now wherever you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I am the age. I'm going to read that again, all right? Then Jesus came close to them and said, all authority of the universe has been given to me. Now wherever you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and even to the completion of the age. All authority in the universe. Father, thank you for your word tonight, hearts and our minds. Holy Spirit, with God, every thought, God, every word. And Father, what you do tonight, we'll give you the praise for it. I pray that faith will be built in hearts, stirred in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that the heavens would just be opened over every person in a powerful way to receive revelation knowledge. And Father, we thank you tonight for your precious gifts, honor you and praise you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, we're going to talk about, still talking about faith, but we're going to talk about the power of attorney. Everybody say, the power of attorney. Now, this is interesting because this will revolutionize the way that you do things. and the way that you can pray and the way that you operate in life and your whole demeanor, everything will change. So what is the power of attorney? The power of attorney is a power of attorney. Now listen, or letter, everybody say or letter of attorney, is a written authorization, to in private affairs, business, or other legal matters. The person authorizing the other to act is the principal grantor or donor. So the one authorized to say, I've been given authority. I'm going to read this. See, I want to read it slow tonight because this has got to sink down in your spirit, man. This Jesus, all power in the universe belongs to me. He's given us a written letter. Look up here. He's given us a written letter. Man, this is powerful. Of attorney, a written authorization. God wants you to understand you are his son or his daughter. Your name is written in the book of life. Your name is written there. God's signature is all over you. All over you. The one who said all power in the universe belongs to me is saying, I am entrusting you with this power. Now listen. To act on my behalf, this is what Jesus is saying, to act on my behalf in private affairs, in business, or any other legal matter. So he's the one authorizing us to act. He's the grantor. Somebody say, he's granting me this, giving me this, given to. So it is to enable a trusted, you got to get this part, a trusted person. Remember it said faithful, trusted. It is to enable a trusted person to give permission to act on their behalf using the power of attorney. All right? I'm going to say that again. The oil ain't got down there yet. All right. Understand the power of attorney to enable a trusted person. Some people you can't trust. We won't know, hey, God, why come I don't see this? How come I don't see a miracle? How come I don't see a healing? How come my prayer ain't answered in this? How come the devil doesn't move when I tell him to? How, you know, all these things. Listen. To enable a trusted person. You got to be faithful. Somebody say you got to be faithful. Trusted person. A trusted person. A trusted person. To give permission to act on his behalf. Man, I want him to be able to trust me. I want him to be able to trust me. Do you want God to be able to trust you? Some people you can't trust. Some people you can't trust. Boy, you could go 1,000 different directions right there. So what is the value? Now listen, so what is the value of the power of attorney? What is the value? This depends upon how much there is behind the one giving it. How much authority, how much power the grantors, whatever's backing them up. So there are several things that come into play here that I want. Authority of the grantor. That's the one. And then the trusted person. I'm not going to have any problem with him. He may have a problem with me. Look at somebody and say, you could be a problem. You could be a problem. Or you can be a trusted person. Just ask you a simple question. If you had all your wealth and everything and you needed to entrust it too, I preached enough funerals to tell you, You can't trust families. You want to see devils manifest, just let somebody die. I'm going to get my piece of the pie if I have to shoot you to get it. Bless God, you're not going to be horning in on what belongs to me. Trusted people. Somebody say trusted people. So God has entrusted us with the will. Everybody take your Bible. Say, right here's the will, right here. He's entrusted me with it. Jesus died to bring this thing into effect, and he raised from the dead to oversee it. He's looking for people he can trust. Somebody say trusted people. So the authority of the grantor is that I have all power in the universe, and I'm looking for people that I can trust, that I can empower with my power of attorney, people that I can trust to go do it and not abuse it. So our grantor, Jesus Christ, in Matthew and in Luke and in Mark's gospel and throughout the scriptures, gives us this letter, this book, the scriptures. Come on, somebody. The Bible. He's the creator. So I want to find out what's backing him up.
Do you know Jesus?
Of course, I am a Christian.
Good, praise God. Everybody say yes. See there? Well, sir, you serve the Lord and be faithful, and you call me back when I'm not in church.
Okay, then I'll try to call.
Love you, brother. Bye.
Somebody they say that's how you deal with it. We used to get calls from they thought we were the Pentagon. One number was different. They say, I want to speak to General so-and-so. This is General Coleman. Can I help you? I said, you have reached the seat of power. Amen. So I want to find out what's behind his name. Amen. I know what's behind my family name, my father's name, but I want to find out he is the ruler of the universe. All right? So number one, he is the creator. Let's find out tonight. He's the creator. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In Hebrews, it says that he's the one that's in charge of the entire universe. He upholds all things by his word. Somebody say, by his word. You know, if God were to track his word, if his word wouldn't any good tonight, that the oceans would spill out on us and we'd all be dead. You're talking about the end being here. It would be here instantly. Amen. Listen to what Romans chapter 1 says, verse number 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Psalm 95 verse 1 tells us the earth is the Lord's. Whose is it? It's not the Democrats. It's not the Republicans. It's not the elites. It's not these people that think it's going to burn up. Come on. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I like this. One scripture says, and all therein. God put enough corn and potatoes and tomatoes and fish and animals and everything to sustain us. He tells the sun when to rise and to go down, knows the number of the stars, not scars, but tells he knows your number of the scars too. But he tells the stars, he gives them a roll call. Somebody say amen. Listen, Genesis chapter number 16, verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am the Almighty God. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made. Somebody say, nothing made. Nothing made. Nothing made. Not the Big Bang theory. Not evolution. I think I've seen a few people, if human beings evolve back into monkeys. So his name, won't you think about this now, because if he's telling me that he's given me authority, I want to know how much authority he has, and he's telling me he has all authority. And so his name, everybody say his name. I'm going by his name. His name is his reputation. So he and he alone is creator. He alone is omnipotent. He alone is omniscient. He alone is omnipresent. I mean, all seeing, all knowing, all powerful. All right? He alone is the judge of the earth. He created Israel, a people that were called by his name. A people, the Bible said, like no other people. I didn't say this, God did. Now listen, in Deuteronomy 7, verse number 6, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. That's why Peter says we are a peculiar people. Unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. So from Genesis to Revelation, every word and act of God, his mighty miraculous power to save, to heal, to deliver, to give, to defend, to do, to sustain, all of those things. Every covenant name that he used under the old covenant, every one of those names. I want you to think about it. Think about the names of God. Elohim, the Almighty God. Jehovah, the unchanging God. Life-giving God, self-existing one who is. El Shaddai, that's what he said to Abraham. We read that verse. Walk before me. I am Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. All right? Adonai, Lord and Master. Jireh, I'm your provider. Rapha, I'm your healer. Sidkenu, I'm your righteousness. Makedesh, I'm your sanctifier. Nisi, I'm your banner, your miracle victory. I'm Shalom, I am your peace. El Elyon, Lord Most High. So the old covenant, God's reputation is in his name. Amen. Somebody say it's in his name. In his name. In his name. In his name. I want you to get this because this is important. I know that something I want to bring out to you, we hear this, we've heard this. You know, when we say his name, the light comes on. When we say his name, the storms calm. When we say his name, demons flee. When we say peace in his name, peace fills the troubled heart. So, what are his names in the 66 books of the Bible? In Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, the high priest. In Numbers, he's the pillar of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, the captain of her salvation. Judges, he is the judge and lawgiver. Ruth, he is the kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is the trusted prophet. In 1 and 2 Kings and Chronicles, he is the reigning king. In Ezra, he is the rebuilder of the broken down walls of the human life. In Esther, he is our Mordecai. In Job, he is our everlasting redeemer. In Psalms, he is our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom. In the Song of Solomon, he is the loving bridegroom. In Isaiah, he is the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he is the righteous branch. In Lamentations, he is our weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he is the fourth man in life's furnace. In Hosea, he is the faithful husband forever married to the backslider. In Joel, he's the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. In Amos, he is the burden bearer. Obadiah, the mighty to save. Jonah, he is the great foreign missionary. In Micah, he is the messenger of beautiful faithful feet in Nahum. He is the avenger of God's elect in Habakkuk. He is God's evangelist crying, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In Zephaniah, he's our savior in Haggai. He is the restorer of God's lost heritage in Zephaniah. He is the fountain opened up in the house of David for uncleanness in Malachi. He is the son of righteousness rising with healing in his wings. And Matthew, he is the king of the Jews. And Mark, he is the servant in Luke. He is the son of man, feeling what you feel in John. He is the son of God in Acts. He's the savior of the world in Romans. He is the righteousness of God in 1 Corinthians. He is the rock that followed Israel in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, he is the triumphant one giving victory. In Galatians, he's our liberty. He sets you free. In Ephesians, he's the head of the church. Philippians, he's your joy. Colossians, he's completeness. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he's your hope. In 1st Timothy, he's your faith. 2nd Timothy, your stability. Philemon, he is your benefactor. In Titus, he is your truth. In Hebrews, he is your perfection. In James, he's the power behind your faith. In 1st Peter, he's your example. 2nd Peter, your purity. 1st John, your life. 2nd John, your pattern. 3rd John, your motivation. In Jude, the foundation of your faith. And in Revelation, the soon coming king. That's everything behind the name. Everybody say behind the name. Somebody say, why are you reading this? Number one, if you go to an attorney's office, you're going to find out anything. They're going to open up the will and they're going to read it verbatim. We have not because we ask not, but the reason we ask not is because we know not. And my people perish for a lack of knowledge. If we have been given all power in his name or to use his name, to faithful people, to trusted people. Number one, I want to learn to be faithful. I want to learn to be trustworthy. I want to walk with him. I want to talk with him. I want to read his word, because if I don't know what this says, then I cannot be trusted. What do you mean? I don't need to read my Bible. Oh, yes, you do. Because if you're going to operate in all power and you're going to be a trusted one and a faithful one, you're going to have to first to know what is in the will. Christians are lacking right here because we do not know what the book says, what the book teaches, what the themes are, what the great doctrines of the Bible are. And see, he's telling us, he said, all power, all authority in the universe is given unto me. Go ye. He's given the power of attorney to us, trusted ones. We miss that word. Faithful people, trusted people. Number one, if I'm trusted, he's entrusting me, I want to learn to be faithful. I want to learn to walk holy. I want to learn to be like him. I want to learn what his thoughts are. I want to draw nigh to him so that he'll draw nigh to me. Amen. I want to operate in this earth realm with that authority and power that he is giving through the power of attorney. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Now, let's see here. Listen, he's the keeper of creation and the creator of all. He's the architect of the universe and the manager of all times. He always was, always is, and always will be. He's unmoved, unchangeable, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing, pierced and erased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He has risen and brought power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him. The armies can't defeat him. The schools can't explain him. And the leaders can't ignore him. His name. His name. When Israel came into the promised land, the Bible said, because they had heard about Israel's God, they feared and trembled when Israel was approaching the land. Church, where are we? Where are we? Does the world fear our God? Why did they fear the God of Israel? Because he dried up the Red Sea. He fed them with manna from heaven. He destroyed the greatest army that was upon the face of the earth, Pharaoh and his army. Come on, somebody. He healed their every disease. He brought them out of Egypt with great wealth. He sustained them. He was able to make the sun and moon stand still. Come on. He brought water from the rock. This word traveled fast throughout the deserts. It got into the ears of Israel's enemies. And when they heard that Israel was coming in close proximity, they began to shake and tremble because they understood, hey, it ain't them that we're worried about. It's that God that they got a covenant with. Church, where are we at? Does the world fear us like the world feared Israel? Now think. Well, it ain't better. We better. Think. You remember what Pharaoh said about those Israelites, those Jews, when they were down in bondage, making bricks? Man, we got to keep them busy. We got to throw so much smoke their way. We got to put so much rhetoric in their ears. We got to tell so many lies and beat them down and make them fear the IRS. Make them fear that, you know, that something bad, if they speak up, we want them to know they're separating the church and state, which is a lie. Because if they ever find out who they are, they're going to stomp us bad. But you know what? God didn't forget making the covenant with Abraham. And he came back to fulfill it and broke the iron gates of Egypt and took his people out. And they had to pay interest. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Is that what the will says? To whom it was what intended? It's intended. God never intended for you to be broke. But if you're dependent upon the government and not dependent upon him, how are you going to receive his wealth? See, I'm talking about the one who said, all power in the universe belongs to me. I made that star. I made that planet. I created the earth and put the vast oceans in it and every fish that you can catch and look at it and the species of it, which you can't name all of them. I put every one of those there. I put the song in the bird's mouth when you see them chirping every morning. And I love to listen to the birds when they're singing. I love the hummingbird because it goes forward and backwards and forwards and backwards. And I'm amazed at them. I love to see them fight each other. They're fast, aren't they? Amen. But isn't it amazing with everything that God created? God is telling us something. He said, look, he said, the only one that I got a problem with is that one I created in my image. Oh, we got tickled today. I didn't get to see it, but Deborah said, well, I came to church to get some stuff and the UPS man came. UPS man came and already seen him. He kept bringing boxes and already started going, started growling and carrying on like a dog. Started growling, and he got up on the steps and looked back out. And she said the UPS man was still, said he finally went on upstairs. I said something about that man wasn't right for Artie to act that way. I said, even the cat knows an enemy. Come on now, somebody. All the power in the universe belongs to him. This is what I want you to get you to see. There is, God said, I won't withhold any good thing from you. And if anything good is not coming to me, then I've got a trust issue between here and there. God says, can I trust you? I never will forget Dr. Zerubbabel down in this building, and we had a young lady that came to the altar and she needed healing. And he looked at her, he said, what do you do when God heals you? She said, I don't know. Enjoyed life, jump around. He said, you are still a baby. Because he was wanting to say, I'm going to go out and tell the world what Jesus did for me. Somebody said that would have been the correct answer. But that comes out of a heart that has a relationship with Jesus and understands who he is. Somebody say, trust, 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 trust. Do you know that Jews prize life above all things? Somebody say life, life, life. They don't like anybody to speak down to man. You know why? Because God put that in them. Where's the church? I want you to listen to me. We have got to learn to quit looking at the smoke screens and all the excess stuff that the devil is throwing right now, just like he did when they were in Egypt. That's put there for an example for us. That when we look at it and understand, if the devil's opening his mouth, he is trying to keep us from seeing something that God wants us to see, or God wants us to hear, or God wants to release to us. With everything that's going on right now on the earth, it's nothing but the devil saying, make me a few more bricks. Can I hold you in some more bondage? Because we're in bondage if we're dependent on the world in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I want you to get this. And this is not speaking down to anybody who may, you know, have to depend on the government for anything. But I'm going to tell you something about the government. The government is not God. He's not your big brother. He wants to take the place of God, and he wants you to be dependent upon him instead of saying, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Because in God's kingdom, there is no lack. Amen. You see, in the economy of God, God likes everybody to pull their weight, do their job. Trusted people. Somebody say, trusted. 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 Because if he's going to entrust me with the ability to say, go down to the river and look, reach in and pick up a fish, you can find your tax money. Did you know that was in the Bible? Peter came for tax time. Remember, he said, Jesus, how are we going to pay our taxes? He said, it's simple. Have we been doing the will of the Father? Has he entrusted us to do this? And have we been doing it in a faithful manner for him? Have we been obedient? Well, then he's our father. And we just say, Papa, we need some tax money. Well, go down to the river. Reach in and the first fish you grab. It's amazing to me that you just reach down and pick a fish up anyway. They're all slick and slimy. Somebody say, amen. Somebody say, what kind of, they call them St. Peter's fish in Israel. I don't know why anybody, I guess if I was in Israel and I didn't fully understand, I'd be looking at every fish's mouth. In those restaurants where they got those piles of fish, you know, up there, you know, you just get one and eat it if you want to. They got them piled up. I mean, some guy would probably be in there going through the fish's mouths. They say, what are you doing? Looking for money. But when he picked up a fish and looked in, he found his tax money and enough to pay Jesus' taxes. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That's a covenant name of God. Amen. The God who owns the universe is standing and he's looking at them, for the word was made flesh. Remember, dwelt among us. He's standing there and he's looking at them and said, all authority in the universe belongs to me. I'm God the Word. I'm God the Son. I want you to know I am giving you something as a gift to bestow upon you. The authority that I have, I give it to you. Trusted ones. I got to be trusted to pray. I got to be trusted to attend church. I got to be trusted to love people. I got to be trusted to minister. I got to be trusted to love my wife, to love my children, to honor the people that I work for. I got to be trusted in all of those things and behave myself in a manner that's pleasing to my Father in heaven. Because I want to raise the dead. I want to drive out the devil. I want to see God's will done in our cities and in our nation. And so I'm looking for God to raise up an army of trusted ones that know that all the power that in the universe belongs to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I want you to operate in this authority right here. Oh, what do you mean? Trees, please. Trees came. Flowers, please. Flowers came. Fish, please. They filled the oceans. Deer and cattle and all the different stuff that he spoke into existence. Amen. that kind of authority and that kind of power. You think just for a moment here that if God told the sea to only come so far, if God tells the number of the stars, and he tells the seasons, all these things, how to operate and what to do, and he's saying, I'm the one that has all the authority of the universe. And I want to entrust you with the ability to operate in this covenant. I want to invite you to operate in it with me. Does that sound good? Glory to God. That's pretty powerful. Now, so let me find my, okay. Let me get my stuff straight. Every covenant name used in the old covenant by God, and we read a lot of those tonight. Every one of those covenant names that he used, all he is, all he was, all he's going to be, all of those things are now embodied in the name of Jesus. When you speak the name of Jesus, everything that I read to you tonight and everything that I'm said is in that name. In that name. And I think I shared that when we were talking about Sunday morning when we were almost in an automobile accident and Deborah screamed out Jesus three times. That name arrests the powers of darkness, releases the angelic host. That name stops the powers of hell and says, you cannot come any further. That name, no wonder the world wants to attack that name. You can pray in Buddha's name, you can pray in Krishna's name, you can pray in Muhammad's name, but don't you pray in the name of Jesus. Because the devil knows that that name, somebody say that name. And so what is it? It's one of those factors where the enemy wants to intimidate you so that you won't move in this authority that Jesus is saying he wants you to move in. Amen? Amen? All right. Listen to this right here. Mark chapter number 16, starting with verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. You'll cast out devils, speak with new tongues. You'll take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. You'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word, doing what? Confirming the word with signs following. Now they had faithfully followed him. They had been trustworthy disciples. Really? Somebody say yes. He could trust them. And so he gave them that power of attorney to go forth. And this is what they did. Jesus went with them in spirit, by the Spirit of God, confirming the word. Somebody say confirming the word. Confirming the word with signs following. Man, I love that. Confirming the word with signs following. And then I want to read to you the one in Luke's gospel, chapter number 24. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing and praising God. Everybody say power of attorney. The power of attorney. And so the Lord Jesus wants us to operate in that authority. Somebody say, yes, he does. And that power. But he's got to be able to trust us. See, this is the first thing I want. We got to get this tonight. Everybody say, I want Jesus to be able to trust me. I want him to be able to trust me. That's when he speaks to us and asks us to do something, we do it. I'm going to say that again. Him being able to trust us is when he asks us to do something and we do it. There's a lot of stuff in here he asks us to do. And I'm going to be the first one to tell you, I'm not perfect. I'm not telling you that I do all this stuff. I'm telling you, I want to strive to do it. And I think that the hour we live in demands us to be able to be trustworthy servants of God, good stewards of his authority and his power in our lives. Because we want to be able to see the things that Jesus told us that we should see. Amen? And so, I want to be a trustworthy servant. Trust me. Can he trust me? Can he trust me? When he speaks, do I jump? Do I move? Do I obey? Because he said in that commission, he said, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. Right? Teach them. So we teach them by example. So everybody, so I want to ask you, the people around us, and we're talking about the church as a whole, even in America, do they fear us like they did the church Israel when they came out of Egyptian bondage into that promised land? Do we carry that kind of authority? I can tell you this right now. I do truly believe that the body of Christ is rising up like it's never risen before. And I believe that there's a lot of trusted Christians that are being raised up right now that are going to begin to move in great authority and great power. And I believe that God is sifting and shaking and moving. And what do you mean by that? I believe he's shaking probably every one of us because he wants the stuff in us that's unlike him to be sifted out so that only what's like him can remain. Amen? If I were to ask you a question tonight and I say, what do you think the hardest thing to conquer is? What would you say? Say it to me. Speak it. What is the hardest thing for you to conquer? Self. I say the tongue. Because your tongue gets you in trouble. What if God spoke words amiss like we do? Well, I'm having a bad day, to hell of everything. Well, everybody be in hell. Somebody say, God's having a bad day. Remember God said, and man, I'm telling you what, I'm going to tell you, John and Jack give me such a hard time. I'm just saying, I just let them be miserable for 100 years. Wow. What if God got in a bad mood like that? But aren't you glad he doesn't? But I'm going to tell you what he says to us. He said he expects us to be trustworthy enough that we learn to assign our words and speak what is right. Hear me tonight. I'm going to help you. Keep your mouth off Creflo Dollar. Keep your mouth off Joel Osteen. Keep your mouth off Kenneth Copeland. Keep your mouth off of Jesse Duplantis. Keep your mouth off every preacher. I don't care who they are. You're not their daddy and you're not their God and you're not their judge. The Father in heaven is able to discipline his sons and daughters, and he does not need you sticking your nose in his business. If you can get you straightened out and keep you walking a straight road, that will be a big deal. Because you can say, I ain't saying nothing unless it's like, I command you to come back from the dead in Jesus' name. I'm not speaking nothing unless it's something like, I curse that cancer in the name of Jesus who has given me all authority and power and watch it die by the roots. Come on now. I want to see something that says, you that have been twisted in life and abused and rejected and all this stuff in your life, I command you to be made straight and see it happen. Because I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus spoke those words over people, to lepers and to sick people and to people that were bound and oppressed, they got delivered instantly. Come on. And we want to know, well, I'm telling you, the old timers did this, the old timers did that. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's some new timers that are being raised up right now by the Spirit of God that are learning how to assign their words, and they're not going to run around and say things they shouldn't say. Somebody shake that bush one more time. Wow. My God, that's good preaching. See, I want to learn to walk in that, to behave myself in a manner that's well-pleasing unto the Lord, that I may prove what is that good, perfect, acceptable will of God, that I might live godly, soberly, righteously in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Because number one, I don't have time to listen to Uncle Sammy's rhetoric in the world and all the smoke screens that are out there. I want to, my eyes to be piercing the sky, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Because if I got my eyes on the blessed hope and the glorious appearing, I don't have time for nothing else. Because if I'm doing that, if I'm looking for his coming, I'm going to think before I speak. That's pretty good. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so, see, we haven't even got to the part yet about the authority, but he's saying all the power and authority in the universe, it's mine. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. All right, what does that mean? All right, I have to have a great commitment to that great commission. I have to say, go ye, all right? If I'm going to go, I'm going to go one step at a time and learn to walk in that authority and in that power. If I'm doing something right, I know he's going to confirm it. If something's not happening that I'm believing God for, maybe I need to make an adjustment in my attitude, my words, my actions, my deeds, my life. Maybe I need to make some kind of adjustment. Amen? And so I want that authority that is given, you know, I want to put such a value on that, that I learn how to talk. Amen. Be not as little children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight and cunning of men and their craftiness. That word that he uses there is nepios in the Greek, and it means not able to articulate the things of God. And see, the enemy tries to keep us from being able to articulate God's will. Amen? You remember what we read just a few minutes ago? That as his agents in the earth, he wants us to be able to speak and things change. It's like, oh, my God, you know, like the charismatic renewal, which is a great, great move of God. Most people want to crucify everybody that had anything to do with it. You know, they said that's the name it and claim it, the blab it and grab it and all this kind of stuff. And I said, at least they got it. I said, at least they got it. Yeah, some of them abused it and some of them misused it and all kinds of stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, isn't it amazing that the church likes to attack new moves when they come? And that was a movement that God was saying, get your tongue in gear. Let it be lubricated with Holy Ghost oil and only speak that which is under edification, like the scripture says. Right? Amen. So that when order my conversation and give it an assignment, then when I speak, I want to say, Lazarus, come forth. And he comes. Listen, don't listen to this, because I'm closing right here. You got to get this. Lazarus come forth. I think I mentioned this last time I spoke. Lazarus come forth. Listen, he came on the authority of a word. He was still bound up in grave clothes. But he had to obey when God spoke. Do you understand? That body started going, and hopped right out of that grave. Somebody say amen. And Jesus said, okay, loose him and let him go. See, that's powerful. That's powerful. Amen. And so I want to move in the Great Commission. See, the Great Commission is a powerful thing. And our nation needs people that are committed to the Great Commission. We need a fresh commitment to the Great Commission. That everywhere we go that we understand, oh my God, I have the God that owns the universe, all power and authority, saying to me, he's giving me this authority and power. He wants to entrust me with it. So it's my job to learn how to be trusted. Amen? Let's stand together. My God.